Thank you. Can everybody hear me? Hello? Okay. All right. Thank you. So today, as you can tell, I will be talking to you about the social costs of fracking, and I do not have anything interesting to disclose, so we will go onward to fracking. Now, I'm sure that most of you know what fracking is. And it's been modernized within the past decade. It is a technique that the oil and gas industry uses to tap into unconventional oil and gas buried deep within the earth in rock formations, commonly shale. Now, the thing about fracking is most of the public discourse and debate is about the demonstrative environmental repercussions of it. However, there are other impacts that are ongoing that are less common and less mainstream. One of them being the social costs, meaning the public health implications, as well as the quality of life implications that occur when drilling and fracking comes into a rural community that has not expected it. Therefore, we decided to embark upon an analysis of the socioeconomic problems. We looked at certain socioeconomic indicator data from rural Pennsylvania counties, and we compared the social indicators from before fracking was commercialized, from prior to 2005, and then 2005 to 2010. I will tell you why we chose Pennsylvania as we go on. And all the data that we got is from public state agencies and is obtainable through the government. So Pennsylvania is different than a lot of the other states such as Texas and Oklahoma that have been doing this type of oil and gas exploration for several years now. It wasn't until 2005 that they had their first commercial Marcellus shale well drilled and fracked, and I want to say in Washington County. Since that time period, as you can see, this growth, the number of wells, has grown from 8 in 2005 to almost 2,000 in 2011. That is an incredible boom. That is exemplary of what a boomtown phenomenon might be. Moreover, even though some metro area counties have experienced this drilling and fracking, most of it has occurred in rural communities. Now, Pennsylvania is also a good state to look at for other reasons. When you look at the population distribution in a state like Oklahoma or Texas, it's very large and the densities are not as thick. Pennsylvania tends to be a more urban overall as a state, so it gave us more rich data to pull from. It meant that because there was more populations even in the rural areas, that there was more people and there was more social data that we could derive meaning from it. So in the 1970s, there is an energy crisis, and there's been many academics that have looked at this crisis when this rural communities that did not have this certain kind of energy exploration all of a sudden got this big population bulge from transient workers that came into the workforce. Now, there's certain different themes of what happens to these communities, but it's common that the certain externalities come when an industry like this comes into town. So, for example, truck traffic. It's not necessarily associated with the energy exploration itself, but it's something that happens to the communities as an external factor, although they may not have asked for that. So we started looking at this literature and reading prior boomtown studies to see what kind of things happened in the past, because this hasn't really been explored for hydraulic fracturing energy booms that are going on nowadays. And we also looked into anecdotal evidence. The media reports, there's been some in New York Times, different local newspapers. So we looked at a lot of that, and what we found was there were certain reoccurring themes. And I'm sure you all are very capable of reading this quote from the Associated Press, so I won't take up your time there. But what they're finding is that it is mirroring what happened in the Old West. It's mirroring what happened out in the Dakotas. Even out in Alaska during the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, similar themes were happening. So there was sort of a repetitious story being told, and that was there was more accidents. There's more civic disorder, be it barroom brawls or simply a higher number of public intoxication arrests, and also public health implications. When you have a new population bulge, there's going to be more public health problems occurring. This helped us kind of narrow down the metrics that we studied, right? So those three themes, which I go over here and show some of the parallels between the literature review and the academic studies, as well as the modern anecdotal evidence, we decided from there what thematic metrics to study. So, for example, in Greene County, it is one of the most fracked counties in Pennsylvania, with one well per square mile. I think Bradford County is the other one. Reported that pickup trucks were actually shaving off the mirrors of cars parked on the side of the road. Now, this might not be something you would think of normally when you're thinking of the impacts of a boom town, but I'm sure that the person who walked out without a beer on that car that day thought about it. So then also a regional school official, they've noticed that this congestion that's coming about in their communities, it's causing a real socioeconomic problem, especially when the daily commute of getting their children to school. Civic disorder. In historically speaking, one of my favorite statistics I found was in Rock Springs, Wyoming, which I believe is a coal town, if I remember correctly. They had police calls that jumped fivefold, and their alcohol-related crimes quadrupled just between 1969 and 1974. So there's a certain thematic type of crime that occurred historically with these energy boom towns. Similarly, what happens is these very well-paid industry workers come into a new area with a lot of money on their hands and a lot of spare time, and they don't have that family, they don't have those roots. So what do? Well, according to this 23-year-old transient worker, they drink a lot. He's not going to lie. So they have a lot of time on their hands, they go to bars, they end up getting into these barroom brawls. The police chief in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, which is in Tioga County, he attributes this increase in certain types of crime to the shale gas industry workers because prior to their presence, he didn't notice this certain type of behavior. Then there's public health. Now, one interesting thing, anecdotally, is that there has been an attributed increase in STIs to the Marcellus shale industry. Now, we specifically looked at a combination of gonorrhea and chlamydia, but the hospital in the nearby hospital in Bradford County, they're noticing this increase as the Marcellus shale industry has inflated. But also the oil boom town with a bacon shale in North Dakota, doctors are also treating more cases of STIs, as well as domestic assault and sexual abuse cases have increased, and many women who have reported to the authorities that they actually feel unsafe in the area. So the rationale for the metrics that we studied in this report are based upon this kind of parallel information that we received from the historic boomtown studies, as well as these news reports, these different press releases from government state agencies. And we went and we further narrowed down because we had to find a specific criterion within. So for accidents, although when we were initially looking at the data, overall traffic accidents showed the same trends, heavy truck accidents were particularly noteworthy, as you will see, and that makes sense because they need all of these big vehicles to haul the toxic wastewater to and from the well, sometimes thousands of times a day. There's these coming in and out. These are rural roads that aren't really built for the capacity to hold this amount of traffic, let alone the heaviness of this traffic. Crime, disorderly conduct, arrest is what we looked at, and then we looked at STIs as our public health problem. So what we did was a very simple analysis. We broke down the counties, which I'll show you in the next slide, into heavily fracked, all rural fracked, and unfracked rural. And what we did is we looked at the 5 years before fracking and the 5 years after fracking. And the first thing we did was it was just a simple average annual number and looking for a prevalence. Was there an increase or a decrease before those 2 years? The second way we looked at it was we got the average year-to-year rate of change or the average annual change from 2000 to 2005. Those years, what on average was the movement? Did it on average all those counties combined go up a certain amount or go down a certain amount? And how did that compare to the years after that from 2005 to 2010? Now those years, the 2005 years overlap in each one, but they only had 8 wells at that time, so it's not going to necessarily skew the results there. So there's 23 rural counties in Pennsylvania. And of those 23 counties, 8 of them are what we consider heavily fracked counties. Those are counties that have at least one well for every 15 square miles. Then we have our unfracked rural counties. Now, those were important to put in there because we acknowledge that during the time of this study, we had the Great Economic Recession. And a lot of times when you have an economic recession or depression, as we did, there's certain similar socioeconomic factors that occur in phenomenons that are very similar to what happens in boomtown phenomenon. So it gave us a baseline to control for, to see what was the trends occurring in these unfracked rural counties and what was occurring in the heavily and all fracked. Also, at the same time, we didn't look at the metro counties because there's all the other economic noises. There are different sectors. There's a lot of people there. So by honing in on the rural and also the less wealthy communities, we were able to alleviate some of that noise. And what we found was our findings were in sync with the literature. Most notably, not only is fracking associated with all of these an increase in all these metrics, in particular, it's associated with an increase in the heavily fracked counties, which consistently across the board have the most increased amounts of activity. So, for heavy truck crashes, now figure 3 is just the simple increase, the prevalence. And as you see, heavily fracked counties are the only counties that had an increase in truck accidents. Now, all rural counties decreased, but not as much as rural unfracked. Now, when we talk about the average annual change in heavy truck crashes, what we did there is we controlled for for the vehicle's miles traveled. So this controls for traffic volume, because just because there's an increase in traffic on the road doesn't necessarily give you a more genuine picture of what's happening. So by controlling for crashes per million vehicle miles traveled, we got essentially what looked like a rate, how many crashes were happening within those vehicles on those roads and in those counties only. And what we found was that fracking actually reversed a declining trend. So from 2000 to 2005, for example, in heavily fracked counties, the amount of truck crashes was negative 1.6%. But in the years when fracking was occurring in heavily fracked counties, it went up to 8.8%. Now, when you look at, I'll jump down to the rural unfracked. Prior to fracking from 2000 to 2005, it was negative 4.3%. So while there was still a still decline in total vehicle crashes on average when comparing the two time periods, it still did not increase quite as rapidly as it did in the heavily fracked or the all rural fracked counties. Likewise, when we looked at social disorder crime, heavily fracked counties had, once again, the highest association. Can you still hear me? Okay. I'll just talk loudly. So the heavily fracked counties, once again, they had the strongest association with increased activity. When we don't know why the all rural fracked counties don't have the same consistent trends, but it holds forward that when you have a lot of energy activity industry coming in, that the most heavily impacted communities are going to have the most heavy impacts, especially when looking at those without. And when we looked at the sexually transmitted infections, they rose fastest in rural Pennsylvania where the fracking began. So this, once again, is a very, this is a very consistent trend again, and the average number of cases increased 62% more in the heavily fracked counties than they did in the rural unfracked counties. So the growth is much more exponential in the communities with the heavy fracking. Now, we know that this is a thumbnail sketch, and we also did a thumbnail sketch of the types of economic burdens that localities can endure. So if a heavily truck accident had continued to decline at the same pre-fracking rate of 2000 to 2005, then the heavily fracked counties in Pennsylvania could have avoided a lot of significant costs that burdens the taxpayers who probably don't make that much money in these rural communities to begin with. So we were able to do a thumbnail sketch and estimated that this added a $28 million economic burden that added to it. So social costs, not only do they inconvenience your health and your quality of life, but this is going to be a really big monetary burden to communities that don't have a lot of money to begin with. So in conclusion, we found that these findings are consistent with a wealth of academic literature that demonstrates the negative social consequences of rapidly developing energy boom town. It supports the anecdotal evidence from the media and those reports that fracking has delivered these tangible harms to rural life. These considerable social costs and the associated economic costs, such as the thumbnail sketch of the heavy truck accidents, they add to the mounting evidence against the long-term environmental and economic viability of fracking. Therefore, communities and states, when they're considering the real costs, when they take into account approving this new controversial method, must take into account the social burdens that's going to cost onto their communities, because it goes well beyond just the environmental pollution that the communities and workers themselves are going to face. Thank you.
Jonathan, is it going to work? Okay.
It's good as...
It's a short somewhere. Okay. Thank you, Allison. Okay, Martin, you're off. So our next speaker is Martin Donahoe. Martin's topic is coal exports, corporate profit before human and environmental health. Martin is an adjunct associate professor in community health at Portland State University. He practices internal medicine. He's on the board of advisor of the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. And he teaches mostly medical humanities, public health, social justice ethics, and women's studies. Martin has a website with all of his talks and all of his slides and all of his articles. It's called publichealthandsocialjustice.org, if you're interested in looking up his work. And his book is called Public Health and Social Justice.